Because today I would like to be your destiny coach. If that would be all right, can I be your destiny coach? Go ahead, this is Charismatic Church. You can say yes, amen. All right. last Sunday we started a series for the summer on discover your destiny or discover God's will, which would be the same thing for you. And so I want to help you today to motivate you to discover God's will for your specific life. And we're going to be doing that throughout the summer. I said that these messages are progressive so that just one of them probably won't do it for you. You'll need the whole series. So if you miss some Sunday, you can go online and download them or listen to them online, subscribe to our church podcast so that you get the messages and you can listen to them several times. Wednesday nights, we're going to drill down on the series by talking about the scriptures that we shared on Sunday. Open for questions. Also, in your bulletin, I think there should be a little card in there, a Q&A card. If there's not, let me know. We'll pass it out. If you have a question about God's will, how to discover God's will, anything that relates to what we talk about, you can write that down. Turn those cards in to me or Pastor Lori, and we'll try to address those questions throughout this series in December. I've learned a long time ago as a pastor, it's really boring to answer questions that no one is asking. All right, a lot of pastors do that, and I don't want to be one of them. So we would like to help answer the questions that are important to you throughout this series. You know, when I ask the question, do you want to know more of the will of God for your life? It's almost unanimous. Every single person wants to know more of the will of God for their life. And so we're going to teach you how to do that, what it is, and so forth. And I just think that this is going to be a great series this summer to bring a revelation of this. So don't miss any of them. I believe a study on the will of God is one of the most applicable, life-changing lessons that we can learn from the Bible. The whole Bible is full of God expressing what he wants for people and people trying to follow that, sometimes too successfully, sometimes not so successfully. And that really is a lesson of God's story and how he's intervened in the life of people. And we're a part of that plan. The earth is still here. We're still on the earth. He put us here for a reason. We need to know what that is and be about his plan and purposes. And so that's my passion in life as a pastor. It's one of my number one calls is to help people find what God has for them, equip them to do that, encourage them to do that, and even give them many opportunities to do that. And so I would love to do that for all of us in here, even more than we've been doing it. The will of God encompasses everything that God wants. Everybody say, God wants something. So the word want and will is the same thing. What God wants is his will. So we're talking about the will of God encompassing everything that God wants. Everything that God knows about, everything that God allows, which is a touchy subject, what God allows, everything he commands, everything he has control over, which is another touchy subject, God's in control, yes, no, some people think not, or what he reveals to us about life here and in eternity and how to live accordingly, according to his plan. So these are the important things that we're going to be discussing regarding God's will. So I asked the question last week, how many of you would say, I really need to know more about God's will for my life? Okay. It's usually unanimous. I mean, it's even the question is like, say, no, I don't want to know more about God. You know, nobody would say that. It's like saying, who wants to go to hell? Well, seriously, nobody actually does. So everybody wants to know more about the will of God for their life, and that's because you probably need more guidance for some decisions. Ever had a difficult decision to make? Okay? Not just a hard decision, but a decision you thought was really difficult. Well, you knowing the will of God can help with that decision. You want to know the will of God because your life may seem meaningless at times or maybe directionless, and you know if God's will would be revealed to you, you'd have more meaning, more direction in your life, correct? It is because maybe there is supposed to be more to life than you're experiencing. Maybe you're going, is God's will all of these problems? You know, a lot of people don't come to church because they have enough problems on their own. They don't need to come to church and have more. Oh, I've been told that before. Pastor Tom, I have enough problems of my own. I don't need to come to church and get involved with that whole mess. All right, well, we'll talk maybe about that later. But you know, you understand that we have a perspective of the fact that, is this what life is supposed to be all about? Well, we need to find out. In some cases, could be. In some cases, maybe not. Maybe there's a lot of things you're experiencing. They're not even the will of God, and we need to figure out why that is, so maybe you can have some freedom from those things. So are you facing huge difficulties and wondering where in the world God is? I mean, that happens to all of us. You face something that you don't know why in the world you're going through this, and you go, God, where are you? Where are you in all this? And so these are the questions that I believe we can help you have some understanding on, help find out what God says about these things. Now, for those enough of us who believe in a personal God or a divine destiny, a sense of calling, we all want to know more about this. Now, the important thing I want you all to understand is this morning. This is my point this morning. God has a purpose for your life. Okay? And there's some cliches and bumper stickers like, oh, everything that happens is designed for a purpose, or every, you know. Well, maybe, maybe not. God doesn't design all of the bad things for you to go through to teach you something, but perhaps if you put your faith in God, all of the bad things that you've gone through, God can turn around and make them serve the purpose of why you're on the earth, okay? So if you've experienced tremendous rejection, or if you're experiencing a sickness or perhaps financial difficulties, are those God's will? It doesn't say financial difficulties and sickness of God's will. In fact, Jesus came to set the captives free from sickness. He healed people. He said he came to preach good news to those that are poor. So his will isn't those things. But with God involved with our life, if we go through what life throws at us with faith in God, he can turn those things around for his good. Does that make sense to you? This is good. I'm a good news preacher. Good news to light your fuse. All right? Even if you're the one responsible for all the bad things happening in your life, God can still turn it around. This is why he sent Jesus. You know, he's called the Redeemer. He can buy back for you and your life out of trouble, so that you can get double for your trouble. Okay, seriously, you know, if the devil's stolen from you, boom, and God can redeem you back. He can give you double for that. I've experienced it many times. It's a matter of how you go through the things, or let me say it this way: it's a matter of how those things go through you. That could determine whether or not God's hand of blessing and miracle can bring you out of them. And so we have some choices here, obviously, in all the things that we participate. So God has a divine purpose for your life. There are things that God has prepared you for. And there are things that God has prepared for you. Let me say that again. There are things that God has prepared you for, and things that God has prepared for you. Let's look at this scripture together on the screen. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. And it'll be in reading from the Amplified Classic. It says, "For we are God's own workmanship, revealed in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works." Now, hang on a second, Rachel. "For we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship." That word handiwork or workmanship is a Greek word that's pronounced poema. It's where we get the word poem or masterpiece or great work of art. Okay? Look at somebody and said, "You're our piece of work." You're a piece of work. We are God's masterpiece. Now, the way God's designed us is special, unique, different, like nobody else. And he designed us for a specific purpose. All right, next verse. I think we have, is that the? Yeah. Here we go. Which he predestined, this is you, which he predestined or planned beforehand. Everybody say beforehand. For us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time. Next slide. That we should walk in them. In other words, that we should carry them out and do them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. So God's prepared things for you, and he's prepared you to do certain things. You got it? You with me? All right. Now, can I point to every single one of you and tell you what those are? I could point to every single one of you and tell you some of what they are. I can. I could tell you some of what they are, and you could do the same for me. Pastor Tom, I know what God's plan was for you. Is. Your plan is to be a good pastor. Your plan is to be nice to your wife. Your plan is to love her, and God's plan for her is to respect you. Right. So these, we know that there are certain things we know is God's will. Now, I contend that there is a lifetime. Now, not everybody believes this, so you can put this one on the shelf if you don't agree with this, but I contend that there is a lifetime of activities and projects that God has planned for you to walk in and fulfill. Specific things you're on the earth to accomplish. I also contend that you have been divinely equipped with the abilities, spiritual gifts, and opportunities necessary to accomplish those prepared works. God's prepared these for you, and it would be ungodly to say you have to accomplish something that you're not gifted or equipped to accomplish, or you don't even have the opportunity to accomplish. So therefore, I contend that you have the gifts, talents, abilities, opportunities to accomplish those things, the door to walk through. And sometimes it's a door that you have to knock on. Sometimes it may be a door that you have to break down. But the door can stand before you. I believe God will open doors that no man can shut, and shut doors. But there are times when he opens doors and closes doors. There are times when you just have to know this is the direction God's called me to go, even though it's rough going. Okay? Now, last Sunday, I shared with you for quite a bit my story as to how God called me from a very early age, how I followed that call. And the reason I shared all of that with you is to show you that God does have a divine call upon our lives, but that I had to make a choice to follow his voice. Okay, when he said something to me, I had to, and it was significantly presented to me in a way that I knew it was God. Now, sometimes God speaks to us about a calling or there's an impression, and sometimes we go, is that really God speaking to me? Is that really God telling me to do this? And those are times when you have to have scripture, you have to have confirmation, you could have biblical authority, you could have other things that you, and I don't believe that it's a bad thing when you believe God is telling you to do something. Maybe just as simple as taking this job or doing this thing or joining this church or whatever. It's not necessarily a bad thing to question and say, God, would you please confirm your direction in my life? I need a confirmation. Because I don't want to make a choice outside of your will. Okay? So the most important question in this series is, how do we know God's will? The first thing I want you to write down in your notes, because I want you to participate, and I'm going to give you an assignment at the end of the message today. If you have your bulletin in your notes, write this down. The first thing is to write down is that God has a divine plan for me. God has a divine plan for me. I believe God's plan for you is unique. I believe it is special. I believe it is specific. I believe each one of us are a one of a kind. We are not like anyone else, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. You're distinct and different from anyone else. No one's fingerprint is the same. No one's DNA is the same. No one's retina is the same. No one's physical makeup. No one's history is the same. No one's family is the same. No one's background is the same. No one has the same gifts, talents, experiences. Not one of us is the same as anyone else. Turn to somebody and say, man, you are different. You're different. And that's a good thing. My mom would always say, if both of us were the same, one of us would be unnecessary. You've heard Betty Wilkie say those little things. And that's why sometimes we get into disagreements. You see things one way, I say things another way, and we may not even agree. And I said last Sunday, agreement isn't always the thing that helps us work together. Sometimes disagreement just simply means that both of us need to get into agreement with what God is saying. Like in a marriage, you have plenty of disagreements, but what you have to come up with is the fact that ultimately God's saying something, and the husband or maybe both have to get in agreement with what God is saying, and then there can be unity in that relationship. It's like that in any kind of relationship. If we get in agreement with what God has, then it's, again, going back to what my mom would say, it doesn't matter what I say. I don't want my way or my say. I want what God's way and his say. That's what's most important. Does that make sense to you? All right. It's always made sense to me because the conflict takes it out of the personal. Like, because I disagree with you, your decision is bad. Oh, I want to think that way because I know my way is right. And you're the only one. Many times. Listen, I always say, when we come in a disagreement with somebody, I always said, you know, you could be right. I said, but how about this? If you think you're so right, let's get a second opinion. Well, I don't need a second opinion. I know I'm right. Yeah, okay. All right, so second thing, write this down. Second is God's divine plan is not discovered by accident. God has a plan for you that is unique, and it is not discovered by accident. Now, God clearly tells us some things about his will, his moral will. These are very clear things. He also places abilities and talents and dreams in your life for you to discover. You know, sometimes you have abilities that you don't even know that you had, that they were late and they were dormant, and because of a stressor or a conflict or a crisis in your life, all of a sudden you rose up and you accomplished things that you never thought you could accomplish. Has that happened to anybody in here? You went through a crisis or a hard time in your life, and you know you were kind of just comfortable doing whatever it is that you were comfortable with. All of a sudden, something forced you to rise up and become better at something that you never thought you could do. Could have been an occupation, could have been a stage of life, could have been a family thing, and here you are. You're doing something that you never knew that you were gifted at. So we have to do our part to find God's will. We have to do our part to know it, to follow it, and fulfill it. Now, many people have been told this, some more than others. Your life is just a mistake. It has no specific meaning. There's no real purpose to it. You've just evolved out of primordial paste. You evolved from apes. There's no purpose. There's no meaning to any of this existence. There is no reason why you're on this earth. Nothing you do makes any significant difference in this world. Now, listen to me. Those are all lies. You're talking to a pastor here? I have a little rabbit trail here, okay? Rabbit trail is when pastor talks about something that's not in his notes, but he feels like, because he's the pastor and it's his church, he can say something. Okay, this is one of those situations. All right, you take a public school that won't allow you to talk about God, and what do you have? Godlessness. Oh, surprise. Surprise. It's not a surprise. You talk about a place where you don't allow people to talk about God, you have godlessness. So now we have godlessness in a place called the Milwaukee Public School System. And then recently, because there's so much godliness and violence, somebody said, you know, we should get the pastors involved. And I'm like, now? Like now? You don't want God in your schools, but you want pastors to help you? Now? My first suggestion was, I'll help. Get God back in the school. Tell them about God's love. Tell them about God commands them not to kill, steal, destroy. Tell them all the things like, no, we couldn't do that because we can't have God because we have to have freedom from religion. I mean, freedom of religion. It's goofy. See, this is the thing that we need to understand. God has a purpose, but if you take God out, there is no more purpose left because he's the one that originates all of our purpose, all of our meaning, all of our significance. Without that, there is no significance. In fact, who made the rules that you can't steal from somebody? This is, we're in a public school. Who said you can't steal? The principal, the government, who are they? If God said it, now you have an authority figure that can enforce the consequences. Otherwise, you're just trying to figure something out without any type of meaning. That was my rabbit trail. It was a pretty good one, wasn't it? All right, stay tuned. You never know. I might jump another rabbit here once in a while. That's what they call it in the preacher world. You jump a rabbit. I just heard that on TV. I don't know who said it. Those things about your insignificance, meaninglessness, you evolved, those are all lies. There's no truth to it. You know, the whole concept of us evolving from another species and stuff, there's no scientific, biological fact for it. Unfortunately, Mr. Darwin went through a crisis when his 10-year-old daughter died. And he suffered and died. I don't remember the disease. She suffered and died. And he says, well, if there is a God and he allowed that, I don't believe in him. No doubt that out of his bitterness, he would create this theory, thinking that there is no God, so we had to evolve from somewhere. Discovering God's will for our life will refute every statement of insignificance and meaningless comment that we've ever been told about ourselves once you discover God's will for your life. So I remember when I knew God had called me, I felt like I was walking on the earth like God has got his hand on my life. Nothing can happen to me that God isn't involved with, that doesn't protect me. And this is the thing that many people need to realize. You know, God is not, God's phone number is not 911. His phone number is not 911. In other words, we only call up God when we're in crisis, when we need a God, a medic. If you're involved with what God wants you to do when everything is going wonderful and you're committed to him when everything is going wonderful, he'll be there when everything is going terrible. Now, I'm not saying God doesn't have mercy on our stupidity, but there's one thing, there's a difference between stupidity and rebellion. Isn't there? Stupidity and rebellion, those two different things. I did a lot of stupid things, and praise God, he delivered me out of all of them. But the rebellion part, I'm still living with some of the rebellion. I've got scars on my body because of some rebellions that I've had. Those are still there. And those will go with me the rest of my life. Now, discovering God's will for our life gives us a spiritual energy, a spiritual potential, a spiritual power that will help us challenge the status quo in our life. And to accept that this destiny that God has for us causes us to rise up and become more than we would become just on our own. Okay? So you're born for a divine purpose and a purpose that God has predestined or predetermined for you. So what we have to do is go about discovering that. And it's a wonderful thing to discover. It's not scary. It's not intimidating. As my friend in college, because we were kind of studying for the ministry together, he would say, I'm not sure if I want to ask God what his will is for my life. I went, well, why not? He goes, because he may call me to go to Africa. You know, and I don't want to go there. People are starving, and it's hot. I don't want to go there. I said, why would you think, if you ask God to do with whatever he wanted to do for your life, you automatically would have to do something you don't want to do? Anybody ever thought that? If you ask God, I want to do what you want me to do, that it'd be something you don't like? I don't know. Maybe I heard that in growing up in church where like religion would say, you know, God's going to have you do stuff you don't like. I think that when you're doing what God wants you to do, there is more joy, more excitement, more passion than you could have trying to find it with all the money and all the other entertainment things in the world. If you're doing what God wants you to do, that's explosive. That's fire. You're charged up, baby. I do know that. All right, let's look at this scripture here. Destiny begins where the will of God is known. Ephesians 1, verses 4 to 5 says this. Let's look at it together. Just as he chose us in him, when? I just want to make sure everybody can read in here. Just as he chose us in him, when? Before foundation of the world. Before the foundation of the world. Before anything was created. Here's God, and he chose us. Wow. Now, remember what I said last week about this whole thing about God being able to know the will of the sovereign will of God? Here's a timeline. Here's the beginning. Here's the end. And there's the beginning of your life. There's the end of your life. And God can see every decision that you have made and that you're ever going to make. And you say, how's that possible? Because he stands outside of space and time. To him, he can see every decision you're going to make. This is, okay, just track with me. You just look like you know what I'm talking about. All right. And he knows every decision you're going to make. So he can say, see, you're going to make that decision, and he can go, oh, you know, I need to try to help direct their path here. You know, the Bible says he directs our paths, you know. The Bible says the path of the righteous man gets brighter and brighter, and he could put something in your path, and all of a sudden you can go, man, I was going to make something, and it stopped me. Whew. See, God can be involved. So from the foundation of the world, he called you. Verse 5, it says this, and having predestined us, predetermined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. He's got something he wants for you, a will. He's got something he wants for you. It's his good pleasure. It's his good pleasure to give you the kingdom. All the things that are in the kingdom. It's his good pleasure to do that. He wants to supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. And it's his good pleasure to do that. And he's predestined you to be a part of his family. Somebody would say, a theologian would say, God has adopted everybody. It's just that some of his kids have run away. And I posted a quote the other day on my Facebook page because it was a quote that I heard, and it said that from the beginning of, or since Adam and Eve, people have been hiding from God and saying, God is hard to find. Yes, he is. If you're hiding from God, he is hard to find. But Jesus said, those who hunger and thirst after righteousness will be filled. If you seek God, if you seek God, you will find him. If you seek God, you will find him. So he chose us before the foundation of the world. He predestined us according to his good pleasure. In fact, God had a plan for every day of our lives before we were born. Actually, this is becoming one of my favorite scriptures on the will of God. Look at Psalm 139. I'm going to have it on the screens here, and we can go through this. Psalm 139. It said, this is the psalmist writing about God. You made all of the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. So first of all, let's just say this. You look in the mirror and you go, man, I don't know if I like this. Hey, God designed it. You know, somebody looks at me and go, you know, I don't like that. What? You know, this is the way God created me. Just get to like it. Just smile at yourself and just look at yourself in the mirror. You're a creation of God. God likes you. And when God likes you, you and God are a majority. So just move on with that one. All right, next verse, 14. It says, thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Now, he's not just talking about women here. All right. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. Verse 15. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion in my mother's womb. I was woven together in the dark of my mother's womb. God's putting and fashioning you together. You see, every conception is a life that God has a plan for. I know. It puts a lot of things in perspective. When we think that almost 60 million babies that have been aborted in the last generation had a plan from God. Maybe one of them had a cure for cancer. They sure all had money to put into Social Security. Okay, that was a little, almost a rabbit trail. Verse 16. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day. Every moment, not just every day, every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. Do you think God has a plan for your life? Is this what God is saying? He's planned it out for you? I know some of you are thinking, well, what if I decide to go see a movie instead of do this? Or what if I decide to sleep in and go to church? Or what if I decide, you know, I believe that if you're following the will of God for your life, he's got that planned out for you. Even no matter what's happened in the past, you can start today by following the perfect will of God for your life. Next verse, 17. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God? They cannot be numbered. You know, here's the thing. God's got every day mapped out for you, and he sees what you're doing. And then the psalmist says, how precious are your thoughts, O God? They cannot be numbered. Now, I can count pretty high. You can't count the thoughts that God has for you. That's how many there are. And then you know what it says? He has so many thoughts about you, you can't even count them. Next verse. And then what happens? I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when and the surprising thing, because you're thinking about me all the time, and when I wake up, you're still with me. If I thought about myself that long, I wouldn't even want to be with myself. And God thinks about me all the time, and he's still with me. He doesn't leave me. Isn't that something? You see how much God loves you? He will never leave you or forsake you. God saw you and planned your life even before you were born. He saw you in your mother's womb. At the same time you were being physically formed, God wove into your life talents, abilities, spiritual gifts, things that you needed to have to accomplish his predetermined purpose in your life. You're special. You're unique. The thumbprint, I always use it, the thumbprint is your identity. It's not like anyone else's. Your DNA is not like anyone else's. Never has been another human being like you, never will be. Now, to me, this says, oh, my goodness, I have a lot of responsibility. I have things that God has called me to do. What have I been doing all my life? I got to get about this, all right? Well, just calm down. God wants to take you from one level of understanding your responsibility and your purpose to the next level that you can handle. And that's what we're about to do on this journey here. God had handwritten down everything that you needed to accomplish his purpose for you. And he wove it into your life in your mother's womb so that when you were born, they were there. They were already there. No life that is ever conceived is a mistake, even if it was conceived outside of God's proper order. There is no human being that is a mistake. Those that have been aborted, those I know, people who I know who have actually visited heaven, have said there is a place, a special place in heaven for those who haven't been able to fulfill their purpose on the earth, the babies that were aborted. It's amazing. God can even take that and turn it around for what he has for those people. So, if you're born, guess what that means? Tell me what it means if you were born. I have a purpose. Only to be discovered, only to be developed, only to be demonstrated. This is important for us to understand in this series. You and I are God's will upon the earth. You want to see God's will? You're looking at it. Now, if I would have started the message like that, you'd have probably, who does he think he is? It's not who I think I am. It's who I know God's word tells me I am. I'm his will on the earth. You're his will on the earth. I'm looking at it. Are you cold, Janine? You want to close the doors? Okay, go ahead. All right. We're so excited about the sunshine, we opened the doors. See, she brought her snow boots today. I was wondering. It's so nice outside. Why did you wear those snow boots? It was like yesterday was like 90 degrees outside, you know? I am God's will on the earth. You are God's will on the earth. What we have to learn how to do is now to demonstrate God's will, to demonstrate it, to find out what it is and begin to walk in it. And you know what? There's a lot about God's will that you know. And I'm going to share a little bit with here in a few minutes as we close. There's a lot about God's will that you already know. And I believe it's kind of like priming the pump. Once you know a little bit and you start demonstrating a little bit of it, then the pump starts to flow and you get to know more of it and you get to know more of it until all of a sudden you're in the flow of God's will for your life. All right, you're in the flow of God's will until you stop following and discovering all that God has for you. Because here's what I believe, that all throughout your life, God's will is going to be revealed to you in layers. You're participating in a little bit of it, which will lead to another thing. It's like a stepping stone. You know the principle that Jesus said, if you're faithful over little, you become ruler over much. Well, maybe it's God's will for all of us to be rulers or leaders over a lot of things. But we have to be faithful over the little things first, correct? You got to learn to walk before you can run. You've got to learn about how to lead yourself before you can lead other people. These are very simple, elementary leadership things that have to do with God's will over our life. You've got to learn how to handle your own emotions in order for you to have the kind of relationships that are going to help you fulfill the purposes of God in your life. Some self-destructive things will keep us back. It doesn't mean God's will has changed. It just means it may have been delayed. It just means that you have some splaining to do. Say, you know, I just decided in this situation, I wanted what I wanted. I don't care what anybody else thought. I didn't care what God thought. I'm just going to do what I want to do. Recipe for disaster many times. All right? People have died for less. Because sometimes our decisions just lead. There is a way that seems right unto man, but the end is destruction, Book of Proverbs says. So we got to follow God's way. Follow God's way. Now, what is your divine destiny? What is the unique will of God for your life? Every single one of you have to take some ownership here. And I told you this last Sunday because this is where when I shared my story, I said, God spoke to me and I have a desire so much to do what God asks me to do in life that no matter what it is, I at least consider doing it. Okay? I mean, when I'm saying what it is, not like go talk to that person about Jesus. I mean, that's a big thing for some of us, but I'm saying sell your home and move to Tennessee or give everything away or move back to Milwaukee and pastor a church when I had never done. I mean, big things like this over and over in my life. When God says something, I go, okay, when? Now? How much? How high? You know, I think it impresses God when you are willing to say, if you ask me to do something, I'm all in. I am all in to whatever it is that you have for me, God. And what that does is it helps you discover things about God's will that you thought maybe were impossible. I didn't know God was going to use me like that. I didn't know God wanted me to do that in my life. So while the world, your flesh, and the devil has you thinking about your life as being so small and insignificant and never being able to really amount to much or never amount to much about, like, you know, the dreams that you've had, God's like, all things are possible to those who believe. Because when you know the will of God and you put faith in it, what he says for you, then you can step out of the boat like Peter did and actually walk on water. I had a friend who was going to seminary, and he was kind of poo-pooing the miracle thing. The miracles, you know, like, well, we don't really have miracles, you know. God does miracles. Jesus did miracles, but people really, you know. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. Peter was a human being, kind of a clumsy one, and he walked on water. And he says, well, yeah, but he sank. I went, yeah? So he sank. He was walking on water. He was walking on water. A human being walking on water. Okay? Now, the reason I'm making this point is because what caused him to sink was the fact that his faith turned to fear because he saw the wind and the waves. What a story. Now, how many of you, if there's no wind or waves, there's no wind or waves, you're good with walking on water. You okay with that? It has nothing to do with the wind or the waves, does it? You don't sink because of the wind and the waves. You sink because you get your eyes off of Jesus and his will and his destiny for your life and your purpose. And you get it onto your circumstances and your surroundings. If everything collapses in your life because you are obeying God, who's responsible? You or God? God. And you know what I've learned? Sometimes God wants everything around you to collapse because you've been trusting in everything else other than God. Oh, I've got everything under control. As long as you have everything under control, then you're in control, and God ain't. And man, we love to be in control. We got to have everything just in the right place, all of our. You know what? When you're following the will of God for your life, sometimes you don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. Well, I shouldn't say sometimes. You never know exactly what's going to happen tomorrow. How much time do I have? I've got time for another scripture. In order to find and pursue God's will, we have to seek it. You have to take an effort to accomplish it. Until what you know what God's plan is for you, it's impossible to achieve it. You're just going to be pretending that, you know, well, hopefully it'll all work out. Que sera, sera. Whatever God wants will happen. But I believe the will of God for our lives is protected by problems. A problem can help you accomplish God's plan for your life like nothing else, because all of a sudden things are out of your control and you have to depend upon God to be in control, all right? Romans 12, verse 2, here's how we know what God's will is for our life. Romans 12, start in verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, in other words, I beg of you, Paul says, their brethren and sisterin, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. So offer yourself to do what God asks you to do. Verse 2. And then it says, and do not be conformed to this world, the way it thinks, the way it wants to do things, the standards that it has, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and that only takes place by hearing, reading, studying, and getting the Word of God into your heart, that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. That word prove there in the original, it literally means to test, to examine, to scrutinize, to see whether a thing is genuinely true or not, and testing it as someone would test precious metals. We prove or test what the will of God is by the renewing of our mind. So we get to know it the more our mind is renewed to the Word of God. The Scripture says, I believe that the will of God doesn't always come easily, but it will come if we pursue it, if we seek it. And once you know that the detail of the purpose and the plan of God for your life, things change around you. I'm serious. Things will change around you. What I have learned is that nobody else around me is responsible for fulfilling the will of God for my life. There are things that God has called me to do, and you know, maybe my family isn't always in agreement with it. Now, I'm still a part of the family, and they're important to me, and I have responsibilities as a husband and as a father, but there are some things that God has called me to do, and I have to say, dear, honey, to my daughter, baby, child, daughter, family, God's told me to do this. Are you on board or you're not? And the reason a lot of times family doesn't want you to fulfill the will of God is the same reason nobody wants you to fulfill and follow the purpose of God, because it leaves them out. It inconveniences people. You may take your money and give it to God instead of spending it on whatever they're asking you to spend it on. Should I get more personal? You may end up coming to church on Sunday instead of doing whatever they want to do. You may end up coming to church on Wednesday nights instead of, you may end up serving it. You may end up doing all kinds of things for God because you know God's asked you to do these things. And people are like, well, you don't have any time for me anymore. And that's the way they'll say it, because it's full of guilt and full of condemnation and full of sorrow and pity that their own little world is falling apart because you're not there to save them. And you know what? It may be a good thing, because you're not their Savior. Only Jesus is. And they also have a purpose and a calling in their life that they need to give an account to God for. And these are the things that we face. Most of the time, people don't pursue and fulfill the will of God, not just because of their own personal selfish ambitions and self-centered lifestyle, but because of what others are going to think about them. Guess what? When you die and stand before Jesus, nobody else is going to be sitting there giving the vote. Yeah, I think they should get in. No, I don't think they should get in. Yeah, they were a good person. No, they weren't a good person. No. The votes are all done. The popularity contest is gone. When you stand before Jesus someday, it won't matter how famous you were, how rich you were, how popular you were, how comfortable you were. All that mattered is one thing and one thing only. Did you accomplish the will of God? And this is why I get so passionate about this, is because as a pastor, I have a responsibility that when you stand before Jesus, it wasn't because you just had a wonderful life, even though I think that you should have a wonderful life. It's that you had a life that you fulfilled God's purpose. It's a life that you found out, this is why I am on the earth and I'm going to be about it. Okay, and it doesn't have to be some type of ministry model or experience, preaching, teaching, prophesying. I'm talking about maybe you are a mother, a wife. Maybe you are a single mom. Maybe you, whatever your stage of life, but you have specific things that you're responsible for that God has for you. Maybe you are a father or a husband, and God's called you to provide for that family or to cover that family or pray for them or lead them spiritually. These are really important things to God. We need to find out what they are. And we're going to, in this series, drill down on some of the questions about, well, what if this or what if that, or how do I make good decisions, or what if I've made bad decisions? So that little card that you have there, if you have questions, I want you to write them out and turn them into us. We're going to talk about them during this series. Let me close with this one scripture. And I talked about it last Sunday. In fact, it's not going to be up on the screen. I just want to share it with you. Ultimately, no one else is responsible for your destiny and in fulfilling God's will for you. You're the one. There's an end, there's a beginning to our lives, and there's an end to our life. And in the middle, there's a dash. You've all been to a gravesite. You've seen gravestones. There's a beginning and an ending, and there's a dash. The dash is what God gives us. And sometimes life is so short, it seems like a dash. That's what God gives us. And we don't know when the end is. No, God knows. He knows when the end is. But we don't. And what we do in that dash will then determine what happens after that for the rest of eternity. It determines our standard of living in heaven. It determines our rewards. And we'll talk more about this in another session. It determines, I believe, in many cases, our responsibilities when we get to heaven. Because contrary to what many people think, there won't be like, you know, you won't be in the Bahamas on a beach. You won't be sitting in a cloud with a harp. You won't be doing these religious things that you thought of in heaven. You know what you're going to be doing? You're going to be working, and you're going to be loving it. You're going to be fellowshipping with people, and you're going to be accomplishing things God has for you. And it's going to be a whole another dimension in eternity where there is no sin, and you'll be able to take what you've learned here to reign there. This is training for reigning, okay? We are being faithful here so we can be promoted there. There's a great book that we have out on our welcome desk out there. It's called Driven by Eternity by John Bevere. And he makes a statement in there. He says, if you boil down how long eternity is to every second you have on this earth, first of all, that would be impossible to do. But if you compared the length of time eternity is to the amount of time you have here on the earth, 5 seconds here is millions of years there. 5 seconds of doing something here that you're rewarded 5 million years for in heaven puts it in a whole different perspective, doesn't it? Why do we wait to the end of our life to feel regret of all kinds of wasted time, poor decisions? Why do we wait to the end of our life and go, you know, I woulda, shoulda, coulda? At the brink of death, to reflect upon our wasted years, minimizing the things that were important because what? We were a slave to routine or comfort or money. All I know about God's will is it will cause you to take risks that nobody else may understand. It may cause you to say yes to some things that other people might think, well, you're just crazy. Barb, you're a religious fanatic. You're way too godly, ma'am. It's okay. It's okay. Jesus was the most godly person on the earth, and they crucified him. So you follow somebody who got killed because he was spiritual. Our years on the earth are brief. So brief. And every day is precious. Don't waste them just being about what you want. Invest them in what you know God wants. And then the more you know what God wants, be ever more vigilant and committed to that thing. Be ever more serious and sober about using your abilities to see that will and plan and purpose come to pass. Remember what James says. He says, now listen up, you who say, well, today or tomorrow, I'm going to go here and do this and spend a year here and carry on business and make some money here. He says, why, you do not even know what's going to happen tomorrow. You don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are like a mist. It's here, and then it's gone. I thought about that one time, how important I am, how important my life is. I thought, how important my life is? You know, if somebody asked me to tell you the names of my great-grandparents, I don't even think I can remember them. Great-grandparents. My grandparents, not my great-grandparents. Certainly not my great-great-grandparents. I don't even think I've ever seen pictures of them. They were here. They were gone. I don't even know who they are. How important is that? Well, here's what I do know. They were important to God. But the fact is, three or four generations from now, nobody's even going to know who you were. That's pretty depressing. All right, so I'll cheer you up. God will know you were here. God will know you were here. And I want to get to heaven and go, God knew I was here. The devil knew I was here. And the world is a different place because I was here. I don't care what I had to go through to do what God wanted me to do. It could be that there's another dimension of risk that God's going to have me take. God knows what that would be after the things that he's asked me to do. But you know what? Whatever it is. And he'll do the same for you if you say yes. There may be somebody here who's a prophet in waiting. There may be somebody here who's an evangelist or a missionary just waiting for you to say yes to God. There may be an entrepreneur here who's got an invention that you're just waiting, God's just waiting for you to get in a place where he can trust you with that invention. I don't know what dreams God has put in your heart, but if you ever take a moment to say, God, what is your dream for my life? What kind of significance could my life have if I would just step out of the boat and just follow you? What kind of difference could I make in somebody else's life or a church or a community or a school or wherever I go in whatever I do if I would just be the person you wanted me to be? Help me become that. So James says, your life's here and gone, here and gone. You don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or do that. Because you know what else? He says, as it is, you boast about your arrogant plans and schemes. And he says, that boasting, he says, is evil. I don't like it when God tells me something I'm doing is evil. But how many times have I sat around thinking, hey, I'm gonna do this, or I'm gonna go do that, and I'm gonna do this. And James says, No. You don't say I am going to. Can I read it to you? He says, as it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. Everybody say, ouch. So what is the thing we do? We say, if, come on, you can do this. If the Lord wills, we will do this or that. Let's say that again. If the Lord wills, we will do this or that. Which means we have to find out what the Lord wills. And he may have you go here and there and do this and that. But you don't boast about it. You go, it's if the Lord wills. If the Lord wills. If anyone then knows that the good they ought to do, which means say that if the Lord wills, and doesn't do it, for him it is sin. All right, let me close. Show of hands here this morning. How many of you want to know more about God's will for your life? Okay. All right, remember I said this when I started, I said I was going to be your destiny coach? All right, well, I'm a coach. Coach. Pastor and coach, kind of the same thing. I'm your destiny coach. How many of you are willing to do what James says and say, if the Lord wills? Gina, if the Lord wills, you willing to say that? All right. I love you. She's going to tell me later after the service that I stepped on her toes. She's not even sitting in the front row. You got long feet. All right, Destiny Coach, giving you an assignment, okay? When you leave here today, during this week, I want you to get a legal pad, a piece of paper, or you can do it electronically, put it on a computer, or whatever your mode of communication is. Get a piece of paper, and on the top, write this in big, bold letters, God's will for me. Four words, God's will for me. That's the heading. Okay? And then underneath there, I want you to list everything that you can think of that is God's will for you. Everything you can think of that God tells you to do, everything you can think of that God tells you to say, everything that you can think of that God tells you to think, everything you can think of that God tells you to become, everything that God wants for you, God's will for me. And just, you may need more than one page. I can see some of you are already going, man, this may take me all week. Well, you have all week. You have every 24 hours for the next 7 days. You know, depending on what we do next Sunday, you may even have longer than that. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to write that up, God's will for me. And then when we get together and talk about this again, we'll share. This is what God, I know God's will is for me. I know you already know what God's will is for me. You know it's God's will for me to help you find God's will. You know it's God's will for me to pray. You know it's God's will for me to love my wife. You know it's God's will for me, all right, to love everybody. So there's already a lot of things on the list that you could think of that is God's will. And so we want to write that down. What does God want for my life? So this is an open book assignment. You can use the Bible. You can use any book. You can use Pastor Lori's book, The Requirements for Greatness. There's a lot of God's will in there for you. In fact, there's a free copy out there. If you've never had got a chance to get one, please pick it up. You okay with this? So today's altar call will be an assignment for you to go home and write down, what is God's will for me? You okay with that? And I'd like to talk to you about it next time we get together to see how far we have progressed. Remember, the will of God to me is like a pump. Once you start priming it with things that you know, and if you keep pressing that lever, more of the will of God comes out, the more you're going to know about it. And you know, eventually you're going to become something that you didn't even know that you might become before. But it's part of what God's planned for you, predetermined for you before the foundation of the world. Would you stand up on your feet with me and let me pray for you? Okay. I love God's will for my life. I don't like everything that comes along with it, but because I know what it results in, I love God's will. If it wasn't for the fact that I followed the will of God for my life, I would be dead. And many of you would too. You've made choices to follow God, and you're still alive today. But you don't know when the dash is going to end. And I wanted you to enter into eternity with confidence so that you can stand before Jesus and say, I did everything I know you called me to do. I was in process. I didn't make it. I wasn't arriving. But the fact is that God calls every single one of us before we were born. You know, the Apostle Paul was a terrorist before he got saved. He killed Christians, intimidated them, threw them in jail, tortured them so they wouldn't follow Christ. He was a terrorist. But he said in Galatians that God called me before I was born. He called me to be an apostle before I was born. Had nothing to do with that, he was a religious zealot. Had nothing to do with that he was a Pharisee. He had nothing to do with any of that. God had called him to be an apostle. God may have called you to be something that you're still discovering. Just bow your heads for a minute. Heavenly Father, I pray right now that as we enter into this journey even deeper on discovering your will, that none of us would hold back, that we would press in to seek you for all that you have for our life. God, we want to be all in on what your will is for us. And don't let anything hold us back. Friends, family, circumstances, finances, health. Lord, all those things are just temporary circumstances compared to your eternal purpose for our life. And so I pray for every single one of us, God, to make that commitment this day. Let's pray this together. Say, Heavenly Father, I lay aside all the lesser things to take hold of the greater things. The powerful, omnipotent, eternal purpose and plan of God for my life. God, you've placed within me a dream that I have yet to see realized. I choose this day to take hold and follow you with all my heart. I give you my life. Do with it as you please. And help me, Holy Spirit, participate in this journey to know more about your will for my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you give the Lord a hand clap today? Amen.